Welcome to the Servant Leadership Podcast. Our guest today is Diana Aaron, Director of the Charitable Fund and Sponsorships for Datron World Communications in Vista, California. Diana has extensive experience working with nonprofit organizations and for-profit companies as a small business owner. Today, she'll discuss the added ingredient she brings to her work, servant leadership. Listen in as Diana shares her experience in adding servant leadership to the not-for-profit world. Welcome, everyone. We're here today with Diana Aaron, Director of the Charitable Fund and Sponsorships for Datron World Communications. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning, Carol.
How are you doing this morning?
Fabulous.
Okay, great. I want to start this morning actually with a little story that I want to share with you. I went to the gym this morning, got up like a good girl and went to the gym, do my workout. And two ladies were talking after their class. I happened to overhear this conversation. One of them was being very, talking to the other one about she was really upset. They had made a change in the routine of her class she was taking. And I guess she let the instructor know in no uncertain terms that this was not okay. And that if she wanted to make a change, she should do it to the other class and not to her class. And so her companion listened to everything she had to say. And as she was exiting to go on about her day, she turned to the other gal and said, "Have a happy day." And I thought to myself, wow, in her own subtle way, she was telling this other woman, you have a choice about how you approach your day every day. And it wasn't have a good day, it was have a happy day. And when I think of you, Diana, I think of someone who makes a choice every day to have a happy day. Just the energy that you bring to the work you do and to the rest of us who know you is really fantastic. So thanks for that.
Well, thank you for that wonderful story.
And to get us started, tell us a little bit about what you do in your role for Datron.
I actually wear several hats at Datron. I manage the corporate giving program through the Datron Charitable Fund and through sponsorships. And some examples of our local sponsorships would be the LPGA, Moonlight Cultural Foundation, and special events that we do with the Vista and the Carlsbad Chambers of Commerce. Mm-hmm. Art Barter is the president and CEO of Datron, and he and his wife, Lori, have created the Barter Family Fund, which I also manage. Then there's the Servant Leadership Institute.
Yay!
And they hold, yes, and they hold their annual conference. And I'm responsible for raising funds for that event as well.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, I represent the company at many functions every month by being present at events that involve our stakeholders and recipients of sponsorships. This gives me a better understanding of their missions, their people, and their manner of doing business.
Yeah.
One of my personal goals and values is to give back to people in my life and to make a difference in my community. Live your values is one of the 9 servant leadership behaviors, and I'm blessed to have a job that allows me to live my values every day.
Yeah. So how do you feel then that, I know you work very hard, and I know you don't work an 8-to-5 job, that's for sure. You're always going and involved with something in the community. And I know you've done that for many years. Along the way in your journey, you've learned about servant leadership and been part of an organization that's been trained in servant leadership. How do you think that impacts your work with nonprofit organizations?
In addition to the monetary donations that Datron makes to nonprofit organizations, we also serve nonprofits by sharing our knowledge with them. What I mean by that is if there are errors or problems that we discover during our due diligence process, I'll take the time and contact the charity, and oftentimes I'll work with them to help them fix their problems. And this is really especially important with small nonprofits that may be relying solely on volunteers rather than on staff to run the organization.
So you're really working to equip them.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, to be able to do what they do in a better manner. That's really going a step beyond, I think.
Well, I'm grateful to have the job that I do, that I'm able to do that. You know, in addition to that, there are also times when I've been asked to present at board retreats or at meetings. And listen to understand is a servant leadership behavior that I practice. Before I speak to a board of directors, there's a pre-presentation interview process that I go through with the staff. And one of my questions is, what are you saying to your board that they are not hearing? And yet, if someone else said it, they would be open to listening.
Oh, that's a great question. Can you say that to us one more time?
Absolutely. Listening to understand is a servant leadership behavior that I practice. And one of the questions that I ask is, what are you saying to your board that they are not hearing? And yet, if someone else said it, they would be open to listening.
Wow. That's a heavy question. but really important.
Oh, it is. And then one of the questions I turn around and ask the board members is, why did you join this board? And what are you contributing? You know, by listening to both sides, it allows me to have a more objective perspective. And it gives me the opportunity to bridge the communication gap between staff and board members. Another reason that this is effective is I let everyone know I've been on both sides of the table and can truly empathize. Because I spent 13 years as an executive director for two different nonprofits.
Wow.
But I also served for several years on an executive board as a board president. Because of that, I can draw from my own experiences. I combine that with my knowledge of the process and offer guidance. And this, to me, is the true spirit of servant leadership.
Yeah, that's so, you know, I'm sure you draw a great deal of satisfaction from that as well, because, you know, you're helping them to be successful.
Absolutely. That's what it is, positively impacting others.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, I was going to mention another way that servant leadership impacts the work that I do with nonprofits is by allowing me to mentor local executive directors. I'd like to start by sharing that my first nonprofit job was at the Carlsbad Educational Foundation, and even though I had owned my own small business, there were some unique aspects of the job that I felt a bit overwhelmed with. I was at the California Consortium Educational Foundation's conference in Northern California, and a very nice woman named Carol Siegelman walked up and kindly said, "I can't help but notice you have that deer in the headlights look." Now, I could have been very offended by her comment.
Right.
But instead, I shared that I was new to nonprofits and raising money. And yes, I did in fact feel a bit overwhelmed. Carol offered to help me. She had worked in nonprofits for most of her life and was currently the executive director of the Torrey Pines Educational Foundation. She guided me through the conference and continued to stay in touch with me afterwards. She gave freely of her time and expertise. And I can honestly say that without Carol's guidance, I wouldn't have been as successful in raising money as I was. Carol passed away in 2005, but I'll always remember her motto, get the job done and done well. Her sense of humor and perseverance are two qualities I try to remember to model.
Yeah.
Add value to others is a servant leadership behavior that, to me, Carol taught long before I had ever heard of servant leadership. I'm incredibly proud of the accomplishments that the leaders of nonprofits have achieved, and I'm happy to know that I played a small part by mentoring them.
Yeah, it's a great, great feeling of accomplishment, I'm sure. So we know that things can't be all rosy in the nonprofit world. So what are some of the challenges you feel that they face, and how do you think servant leadership might help in those areas?
Well, I actually believe that most nonprofits are servant led organizations. They may not know or call themselves a servant leadership led nonprofit, but they are simply by the nature of what they do. Nonprofits change people's lives. I mean, it can be feeding the hungry, educating our youth, teaching job skills to veterans, putting on a play or a concert, finding cures for diseases, housing the homeless. I mean, the list goes on and on. Nonprofits are inspiring and equipping others, which is what servant leadership is all about.
Yep, that's right.
Another unique aspect of nonprofits is that they rely on volunteers. You know, in fact, one out of two American adults serve as a volunteer, and they spend 3 hours a week supporting a nonprofit.
That is an amazing, amazing statistic. One out of two?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And 3 hours a week.
Wow. That really is amazing.
So, you know, for a long time, nonprofit volunteers were focused on the three T's, and those are time, talent, and treasure. And just recently, a well-known servant leader, Ken Blanchard, mm-hmm. added a fourth T, and it stands for touch. Nonprofits really do need volunteers to participate and give in one of those four areas: time, talent, treasure, or touch.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteerism is at the heart of servant leadership. It's a selfless giving with no expectation of reward. The benefit is in the simple act of sharing yourself. The reward is internal and really can be quite impactful.
And do you think that that was Ken's intent by coming up with that fourth T to allude to the human connection that needs to take place?
Absolutely.
You know, instead of just coming in and doing whatever the manual task may be and leaving, to actually touch people and connect with people as part of that service that you're giving.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, Ken has been one of our speakers at our
right.
Servant Leadership Conference, I believe, every year.
Yeah.
And he is very prominent and believes that connecting with people is very important.
Yeah, yeah. And I've seen him do that too as well, not in the in my personal life. I've seen him connect with people, and it's really a gift. But one that we can all do if we make the effort, right?
As long as we're intentional in
that
touch, it can be very important.
Yeah, for sure. That's great. So let's talk a little bit about mission and purpose. And at the Institute, we teach that a company needs to have a mission and a purpose that is actually practiced, that it's real to the people. It isn't just something on the wall. And it's really that fulfilling that mission that puts meaning to what they do. Can you tell us about how this is done at Datron? Because it is something that's unique.
Datron is unique, and I want to start by sharing, you know, our mission statement at Datron is to be a self-sustaining communications company that positively impacts the lives of others today and in the future.
Mm.
And the story behind that is in 2004, Art and Lori Barter bought Datron World Communications, and they knew they wanted to do things differently. They wanted to create a company that was led by the hearts and minds of the employees. They wanted to encourage all staff to have a serious role in the success of the company, in the vision of the company, and in the values of the company. And therefore, they created the charitable fund to involve employees in the discussion and to encourage them to do more than just go to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so every quarter, 10% of the operating profits are tithed into the charitable fund. Also, once the money is in the fund, it can only be given to nonprofits. The Barters also believe that our employees are the hard workers that generate the profits, and therefore all our donations are employee-generated requests. So we don't accept any outside solicitations.
Yeah, that's really, that's something that definitely sets, I think, this fund apart. Is the fact that it comes completely from employee requests.
It's a very unique aspect to our community, to our company giving.
Yeah.
So the process is, you know, we ask employees to submit an application that are close to them. So perhaps it's a group that they've met, or their children's activities are that they're involved with, or something that they've grown up with. But in every case, there's a personal connection to
mm-hmm.
the request for the
mm-hmm.
funds. And the charitable fund requests are very simple. Employees submit their grant application, and they only have three questions. And the first question is the basic name, address, tax identification number. The second question is, what's the mission of the nonprofit? And the third most important question is, why is this close to your heart?
Mm.
You know, it's heartwarming to
read. Key question.
Yes, it is a key question. It's really been heartwarming to read the stories that our employees share about why they are connected to a certain nonprofit. I remember, you know, on my second day at the job, I brought in an extra box of Kleenex and I started using waterproof mascara because the stories often made me cry.
Right, right.
I've learned so much about true servant leadership hearts from our employees and the passion that they have for so many incredible causes.
Yeah.
I do want to share one more thing. We don't always say yes to every grant request. And this happens when a nonprofit is not being well run or they're not in compliance with the required legal paperwork. Mm. When this happens, it gives me an opportunity to use one of our servant leadership behaviors called demonstrate courage. And that's because I have to share with an employee why his request is not being funded.
Yeah, that's the tough part, huh?
It's not pleasant. But I usually meet one-on-one with the employee, and I show them the reports, and I explain to them why the Charitable Fund Committee could not approve the request.
Now, Diana, there have also been some instances, I think, where you've counseled the nonprofit as well, right, so that they would resolve whatever the problem is?
Yes, I'm able to. One of the great things about my job is I'm able to go in and mentor and guide the nonprofits. And as I said earlier, it's really important, especially for some of the smaller ones.
Right.
They just need that extra set of eyes. And I know locally here, we're making a difference because we're helping them get their paperwork in order, and we're sharing what we know with them so that they can do a better job.
Mm-hmm. So, and I know you have more about this, but before it leaves my mind, I think it's important to note that, you know, Datron is a radio manufacturing company. And so there are people that work, of course, in offices doing office-type work, but there are also people that are actually manufacturing product. So the work that they do can be extremely repetitive and not the most stimulating in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so you build something and it goes out the door and that's, you know, all you may know about it. I think the Charitable Fund gives people the opportunity to put wonderful meaning behind what they're doing. So they can say, I don't just build a radio. Yeah, I'm building a radio, but because of that, I'm able to affect this charity or do this, you know, get a sponsorship for my son's baseball team, whatever it may be. So that, too, I think is unique, is helping people to make that connection and understand that what they do has meaning beyond the task itself.
I agree. And it's really one of the best benefits that we have as employees of Datron, to know that you can positively impact the lives of others. It's just simply amazing.
Yeah. And one other thing I'd like to note about that is, you know, sometimes companies, you know, revenue profit goes up and down. Sometimes things get, you know, companies struggle. This charitable fund stays in place and the activities stay in place regardless.
Right, because once the money's in there, it can only be given to nonprofits.
Right, so that's really great.
No, it is. And, you know, one thing I wanted to share was on a positive note, last year we granted funds to 92 organizations.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, and since inception, we've given over $13 million to support a variety of causes.
That's truly amazing.
We've made a difference in 43 countries around the world. So if you come to visit Datron, you're going to see our hallways and our walls are lined with photos of thank you letters from the nonprofits we have helped. This, to me, serves as a great reminder to our employees of who we are and what is really important. It's a perfect visual of how we add value to others and live our mission statement.
Definitely, definitely. So what are some of the other ways? I think Datron does some other things, too, besides the charitable fund.
We do. Another way that Deatron makes our mission come alive is by volunteering. As a team, we go and pack boxes for seniors, and the nonprofit we help feeds 600 seniors by providing food that gives them a full week of meals. And these seniors are on fixed income, and their money runs out by the third week of the month, so the food is what literally keeps them going.
And then tell us about the foster youth.
So Deatron also adopts a local aged-out foster youth during the holidays and makes sure that these young adults have a Merry Christmas. The foster youth system kicks out kids at 18. It doesn't matter if they're still in high school or looking for their first job. They're expected to go out and make it on their own. They're given a plastic bag filled with their stuff and said, adios. Can you imagine being out in a world with no support system or family at 18?
No, not at 18. That's for sure.
It's really unrealistic, and it's problematic, and it's just hard to believe. But there are nonprofits who help take in some of these young adults, and they give them housing, they help them get into college or vocational training, or they help them find jobs so that they can be productive citizens.
Oh, that's great. You know, your background has been so varied, Diana. You've worked for nonprofits, for-profits, and you've also been a small business owner yourself. How do you communicate the importance of giving? When you go out here and you're trying to, say, get sponsorships, for example, or get people involved or help a nonprofit, how do you communicate the importance of giving in today's business climate?
Well, today's business climate can be very focused on making a profit.
Right.
Increasing the bottom line.
Right.
Demanding more and more money be made. And paying top executives outrageous bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
What gets lost is taking care of employees and customers. Servant leadership organizations stop and ask, how can I serve you?
Mm-hmm.
And when you practice that philosophy, your business will be better. In fact, servant-led companies have a proven track record of increasing revenue. In addition to that, some of today's businesses also focus on CSR, which stands for Corporate Social Responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
These companies understand the importance of giving back and helping others, and their actions demonstrate servant leadership.
Mm, that's great. I'm glad, that we've got, it's almost like we've got different movements going on, right? One being let's just add to the bottom line, and there's so many layers, and especially in some of the bigger companies, that it's hard for them to see any other way because they have to make more money to make the board members happy or whatever. But then you've also got this group of companies that really understand the importance of, being in the world and making a positive impact. So it's not all bleak, right?
It is.
It's very hopeful.
You are right. It's, as many bad examples as we have, we can counter those with great examples of companies that give and want to make a difference and believe in helping others.
Yeah. So before we close today, would you share with us a servant leadership story? Because I know you got to have them.
Oh, my goodness. There's so many good stories. Back in 2014, after the fires here in Carlsbad, there was a building that was lost. It burned to the ground, and it was just up the road from our office building here in Carlsbad. And the firefighters had the foresight when they first went in to pull the servers, the computer servers, and save those. They set them aside. And again, unfortunately, the building burned to the ground. When Art Barter, again, our CEO and president of Deatron and Servant Leadership Institute, found out about this, he called Mayor Matt Hall and said, "We have space. Can you please connect me with the CEO of the company whose building burned down? We want to be a good neighbor.
Oh.
We want to invite them to come and set up shop in our building." Sorry, this just chokes me up. So you know, I remember hearing stories about or hearing comments that, you know, Art, you can't do this. You know, what about insurance? What, you're going to give them keys to Art, to the building? I mean, what about trust?
Yeah.
And I remember Art meeting with Tom, the CEO of Sound, the company had burned to the ground, and they did it on a handshake because he extended trust.
Yeah.
You know, he lived our values. Sound was able to come in 3 days. They set their business up. They had their computers going. Now, I will say there was a lot of behind the work done by our wonderful IT guru, Benny, to make that happen. But they were able to continue, and we saved them. You know, Art's generosity allowed them to continue their business and to be successful. And today, we have had employees that have gone over and done tours of Sound to see their company. They have come over and done tours of Datron to see our company. And they've come to our servant leadership conference. We have this continuing connectivity and know that we will always share through some terrible times, but we're able to turn them into very good times. Art demonstrated and just made servant leadership come alive. And I think it's just a great example of who we are and what we do and how we do it.
Wow, that was a great story. And it is so apparent that you love your job, Diana. And I just want you to know we appreciate you. And I love working with you. And get out there and get more sponsorship money, okay? So that we can have it for our great conferences that we do. So thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you, Carol. This has been an honor to be able to share just a little bit about what I do and the great company that Datron and Servant Leadership are.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we encourage you to tune in to our other podcasts as we hear from people who are actively involved in the business of creating healthy workplaces grounded in servant leadership. We invite you to join us in person for our next Servant Leadership Experience on October 14, 2016 at Concordia University in Irvine, California, where we will present Servant Leadership at the Speed of Trust, a half-day event with Servant Leadership Implementer Art Barter and Stephen M.R. Covey, Trust Expert and author of The Speed of Trust. For more information about the event or the Servant Leadership Institute, see our website at www.servantleadershipinstitute.com or email us at info@servantleadershipinstitute.com. Thanks for listening and allowing us to add value to your day.